Good morning, Central Church. Pastor Dale here. It's so good to be able to welcome you this morning. I hope you're doing well, and I hope you're enjoying the gift of this summertime season. It sure feels good to finally be in summer. The coming of this new season reminds me of some words of praise offered to God from the ancient psalmist, and I want to just offer those to you as kind of set a tone of praise as we move into worship today. It goes like this: sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea or the lakes resound in all that is in them. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all of the trees of the forest sing for joy. So I offer that to you this morning as just a reminder. Let's sing for joy this morning as we worship together. Hey, if you're watching this morning, Facebook, online, we're so glad that you're tuned in and a part of our time together here. I would ask that you check in. Let us know you're watching. We do try to keep attendance and follow our numbers there. So as difficult as that can be online, you help us with that. So please check in. Let us know you're watching. It'd be great to hear from you. And welcome to our radio congregation listening in this morning also. You know, for as much as we would love to be able to be together in person here in the sanctuary, in our park service, this is going to be our new normal for some time now. We've had to postpone the start of Church in the Park. We're reluctant as well to begin gatherings here in the sanctuary this summer. And I know that that is disappointing to you, as so many of you. It's disappointing and heartbreaking to us as well. But what we believe is it's just not safe for us to begin those large gatherings yet. Hopefully you received an email with explanation around that, or a mailing that outlined some of our reasons for this decision. But stay tuned, please, and as we have been, we'll be giving you updates on what's next and what's coming up. But in the meantime, we continue to offer our online classes and groups, and we're excited about what we'll be stepping into both currently and in the days ahead this summer. Parents and grandparents, we hope you'll mark your calendars for our online vacation Bible school coming up the week of June 29th through July 3rd. You can register for that on our webpage. For our adults, Faith Link, which is a class that looks at current topics and events with a Christian lens, United Methodist lens, if you will. That meets Sundays at 10:10. Also, our Dialogues on Race webinar, a very timely webinar that hopefully will not only give us insights, but understand how we can help be a part of a solution today. That meets Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. I would also mention there's a summer book study, Holy Envy, Finding God in the Faith of Others. That meets Fridays at noon, and you're welcome to be part of all of those groups. You can register on the church webpage. Listen now as Eldon Horner calls us to worship.
Please join with me in spirit as we call ourselves into God's presence. In the midst of the world's chaos, come to this place of peace. When your mind is overwhelmed with what you see, come to this place of hope. If your heart is heavy with fear, with worry, with sorrow, come to this place and find strength. As you long for community in a world that is torn apart, come to this place and find love. Come, people of God, and in this place, in this moment, find peace, hope, strength, and love as we worship and pray together.
Hey, children. Good to be with you. It's Pastor Dale here, and I'm glad that we can have a few minutes together today. I sure miss seeing you in person, but I'm glad we could connect this Sunday morning. So lately, I've been thinking about summer. How about you? It feels so good that summertime is here. I've got some colorful reminders here that this is summertime, some swim noodles and a bucket that you might fill with sand at the beach, hula hoop, how about a beach ball? Okay, I'm not going to be able to blow that up here, but maybe you've got one you can blow up at home. But I'm just thankful for summertime. I'm thinking about how, you know, the trees are all in bloom. The bushes and the shrubs are so green. Thinking about flowers in the gardens and flowers in the fields. All of that color is just awesome to see, isn't it? And also thinking about some of the things that we get to do when we're out in the warmth and the sunshine. You know, biking. I love to bike in the summer. Or maybe skateboarding or swimming, having fun with friends. There's lots of ways to celebrate summer, enjoy summer, because it is a gift from God. Now, I know that there are going to be some things we probably can't do this summer because of the coronavirus, and you guys know about that. You know, maybe your favorite playground hasn't opened up yet, or maybe the splash pad at Clinch Park isn't going to open for a while. I mean, there are some things, so maybe... maybe you had plans to go to camp, or you wanted to see your friends at Vacation Bible School in person. So there's a few things that we won't be able to do this summer, but I want you to know that there are a lot of ways that you can enjoy your summertime and give thanks for it, because summer is a gift from God. And so my reminder for you today is to celebrate every day this summer as a gift from God, to know that that you are a creation of God, a child of God who loves you very, very much, and who calls you to share God's love with others, with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors. And so my reminder today is enjoy every day this summer. And be thankful for it. Be thankful for all that you have, because it is truly a special gift from God. I hope you have a great week, and I hope we get to see each other soon. Take care.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chris here. Hey, I was intrigued with Dale's children's moment with all those noodles and beach balls. There's joy in our faith, but there's also longing and lament in our faith. I don't know about you, that's been the subject of some of my prayers with God lately, wanting God to help show us how to grow as people around racial reconciliation especially. So the prayer today, the prayer of the people, bring all the concerns you've had watching news feed and maybe even you participating in protests or lighting a candle. Bring all that with you as we bring our voices spirits together in praying for the world. Take a breath. Dear God, we know that you've called the church to be the redemptive community, a sign of hope for all folks. And in our effort to dismantle racism in our time, God, we understand that we struggle not merely against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities too. Those institutions and systems that keep racism alive by spreading the lie that some members of the family are inferior and others superior. Oh, disturb us, Spirit of the Living God. Create in us a new mind and heart that will enable us to see brothers and sisters in the faces of those divided by racial categories, by lines of classism and sexism and all those other life-robbing isms. Give us the grace and strength to rid ourselves of racial stereotypes that oppress some of us and mislead others of us by our entitlement and privileges. Oh, help us create and labor for a church and a nation that embraces the hope of all people, especially folks of color. And God, help us to listen to those who are calling out to us in protests and pulpits, even from other lands. Heal your family, God, and show us how to co-create that redemptive work with you. Stir us up, and so make us one with you in union with our brother Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We pause in this moment, God, to be still and lift up a situation or maybe even a face we've seen in these last days that point to the needed healing of the world. Show us how to listen. Show us how to lead. For we pray in the very power of the Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, who told us in our work in this life to pray often to you and sometimes to use words like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, and O God, deliver us from evil. For yours is kingdom and power and glory, today and always. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thought I was enlightened. I grew up with my mother teaching me to treat each and every person, no matter who they were, with respect. My mother was one of the kindest, most respectful, gentle people I have ever known. When I told my mother that I was dating a black man, she replied, Well, that's nice, Jane, but you wouldn't want to marry a black man. Just think of the difficulty your children would have. Wait, what? I thought I was enlightened. The church community I grew up in included a black family, the Smiths. Mr. Smith commandeered the griddle at the Methodist men pancake breakfast. Mrs. Smith's lap was one of them I toddled to when my mother took me along in my 2 and 3 year old years to the United Methodist Women meetings. The first day of school, having just moved to Manistee, my oldest brother, who was 11 at the time, came home from school and said, I have a new friend. His name is Alan. He never said that Alan was black. Alan Smith, of course. And Alan was around as much as John's other friends were. Then when I moved away to college during a sociology class, I realized that the Smith family's job was cleaning our church. They lived at the bottom of a hill in the lower economic part of town, isolated from any other houses. And when the famous James Earl Jones was starting his drama career at the Ramsdell Theater in Manistee, Michigan, the only place he was allowed to stay overnight was the Smiths' house. The Smiths, I later realized, lived in Manistee when the Rotary Minstrel Show was doing blackface to make us laugh. Wait. What? I thought I was enlightened. I thought I wasn't racist, but I am. How could I not be? Monday, May 25th, is a day that will not be forgotten and should not be forgotten. George Floyd, 46 years young, an African-American father and security guard, was handcuffed by police And the white officer, who had 18 complaints against him, decided to put his knee on the neck of George Floyd while three other officers are watching and bystanders are begging the officer to let him go. George pleaded, "I can't breathe." And the officer would not let go until George Floyd couldn't breathe and died. Wait, what? I thought the civil rights movement changed everything. I thought we weren't racist, but we are. George Floyd surely never wanted to be a martyr, but perhaps he can rest in some peace in his unjustified and unmerciful killing. Prompts Americans to reflect and take the next step in being anti-racist, whatever that next step is for you. The next step for me today is to preach about the sin of racism. Uncomfortable, yes, but that's okay. I should be uncomfortable. There's reason for me to be uncomfortable with how that sin manifests in my life. People of color, if you are watching or listening today, I apologize. I'm preaching to the white people today. And I'm here to talk about betrayal. Yes, betrayal. It's woven throughout the Bible. I mean, just even in the book of Genesis, we have Cain killing Abel. We have Jacob stealing Esau's birthright and Joseph's brothers selling him into slavery. But I want to focus on the betrayal of Jesus' disciples. And yes, the most obvious is Judas. Matthew 26 tells us, "Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I betray him?' The betrayal was known to Judas, but it was also known to Jesus. And Jesus called him out at the Last Supper and later surrenders to his fate by saying, 'Do what you're here to do.'" It's a famous Bible story, right? Even people who don't read the Bible know about Judas. But have you thought about the betrayal of the other disciples? Have you thought about the betrayal of the other disciples? No, they didn't sell out Jesus, nor did they turn him over to the authorities to be killed. But as he prayed over his fate that long night, they, Peter, James, and John, fell asleep again and again, leaving Jesus to face it alone. Jesus wants fellowship with his disciples. They prefer the sleep of avoidance. Peter, James, and John slumber through his greatest time of anguish. After Jesus' arrest, Peter reportedly denied him three times. After the resurrection, they refused to believe those who told them of the miracle, the worst, of course, being Thomas, who needed to see the wounds with his own eyes. Thank God we have phones with cameras, right? There were other betrayals before Jesus' death, of course. The way they argued on the road to Capernaum over which of them was the greatest, who was supreme, supremest. At one point, Jesus became so frustrated with them that he called them a faithless generation. And at a different level of betrayal, the betrayal of a political leader, Pontius Pilate takes a bowl of water and symbolically washes his hands in front of the crowd and declares, "He is innocent of this man's blood," which at one level of meaning signified an impotent bureaucrat attempting to pass the buck. Yes, these betrayals vary a lot in severity. Perhaps betrayal feels too strong, but when you look at the strong arc of the story, there's a full arc spectrum of faith, where they drop their nets and follow Jesus, and a full spectrum of betrayal. And what I've come to realize is that this full spectrum, this is also what we as white people have done to people of color. We have betrayed. We continue to betray our siblings in a myriad of ways. And it's time for me, at least, to come clean. Judas is easy. Judas is the white supremacist. Judas is all the videos of white people calling the police because they noticed a black person in their neighborhood. Judas is the police officer kneeling intentionally on the neck of George Floyd too long and killing him. But I don't think any of you listening are Judases. I don't think I'm a Judas. So step with me into focusing on the other betrayals. Because I, as a white person, have also slept through many of the trials faced by people of color. Because my life was too busy, or I didn't realize how bad things were. I, like Thomas, have also denied the truth of racism and doubted some of my siblings of color, unless I saw it with my own eyes, saying things like, well, it's probably not that bad, or I'm sure it was an isolated incident. Michael Brown, Philando Castile, you know, an isolated incident. Terrence Crothers, Sandra Bland, isolated. Tamir Rice, Alton Sterling, Eric Garner, Walter Scott, Ahmaud Arbery, isolated incident. George Floyd, wait, what? And then there's the form of the betrayal that belongs mostly to white liberals. We've competed with each other. I'm less racist than you are. I don't have a racist bone in my body. I do this and this and this, which only serves to make us the issue instead of about the lived experiences of people of color. You see, when we expand the lens, when we don't look at betrayal as all or nothing, we have all participated in some form of betrayal. We are all racist. I thought I was enlightened. I thought I wasn't racist, but I can be enlightened and racist. Maybe like me, the first week after George Floyd's killing, you felt overwhelmed. How can this be happening? What can I possibly do to make a difference? What if I do the wrong thing? What if I say the wrong thing? So I just did the one thing that I was able to. I joined the first local protest at the open space because if I knew anything, I knew my next betrayal was not going to be giving in to my white guilt. The Judases of this world are not backing down, and they've gained influence with those who make public policy. Now was not the time to excuse my lesser betrayals. The next step was to make it personal. I have four prayer candles that I light each week to pray for the safety of four young black men I know personally. My next step is to start studying. I'm reading a book by Diane Emling. She's part of our church here. It's called Institutional Racism and Restorative Justice. Don't let the long title scare you. It's a little book with short chapters, and it does a tremendous job in teaching us. I recommend it to you. Step after that, I'm going to seek assistance to evaluate the outreach program I coordinate here to look for racism hiding in it. I'm going to challenge racist jokes, insinuations, and policies. I'm going to listen and believe my sisters and brothers of color, and I'm going to fail. I'm returning to my knees to repent my betrayals, ask God for forgiveness and courage. Racism is evil. Racism is still alive today. The only way to expunge the evils of racism is to be actively involved in anti-racist ways. I invite you to hold me accountable. I invite you to find your next step. God, the creative force of our very being, loves deeply each and every one of us. Jesus Christ, my Lord, came to liberate us from our sins, our betrayals, the personal and the institutional. I pray that the Holy Spirit, who creates unity and diversity, will raise us up all together to change. May it be so.
Thank you.
Hey, brothers and sisters, Pastor Chris here. Pastor Jane has given us a lot to think about in today's message. God's not done with us. We were all on the way, and this issue of racial reconciliation has invited us all into that work in a deeper way. We want you to keep being engaged with these conversations, and we want to keep thanking you for the ways that you're supporting what we're about by showing up for these Zoom meetings and worship, but also supporting the church financially. We're keeping the offering plate on the Lord's table here lately just to remind us the give back that is always a part of discipleship. Just want to tell you one thing that your money is going to lately. We're upgrading to new cameras because we're seeing that video worship and class experiences are going to be part of our new normal for some time. That hopefully it'll be a further reach and we'll be able to use this technology to touch more people and connect with more people. So I send you off. I send you off into this world to be open in your own spirit and open in the way you engage others. Friends, love the world and love the Lord who made it. Be joyful though you have considered the facts. Love someone who does not deserve it. Plant sequoia trees even when you know life is brief. And in all that you do is one who attempts to follow the Christ. Let's practice resurrection in our living. Go in peace.